for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2006 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, December the 30th, 2006. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the morning, teaching on the spirit of sleep.
For this is the year of my breakthrough for you. This is the year of an open heaven for you. For I have called you into this place so that you may hear my voice and hear it clearly. For I am pouring out my spirit this year, this day, and this season as never before. I'm asking you as my children to be obedient beyond anything that you have ever done before to my voice, to my will, and to my way. For I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you by what you say. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Speak those things that are not what they should be. For I am God, and it is in me that you will find your relief. So do not speak the situation as you see it, but speak the situation as it should be. Come into my presence and begin to move in a kingdom revelation of what I am doing and begin to speak it. Begin to move in the higher things of me. Begin to issue out of your belly and begin to prophesy over those situations that have come forth. For I am a God that teaches. I am a God that heals. I am a God that loves. And have I not taught you my word? Have you not become living epistles of my word? Do you walk not as a word before the people that they may see me operating in you? I have placed you here in this place. I placed you in this land. And the things that you have experienced and the tightness and the squeezing that you have felt has been me. I am squeezing out of you those things that should not be. I am squeezing out of you those things that should not be. I need you to be obedient. I need you to hear my voice. I need you to prophesy as you have never prophesied before. Speak to the dry bones of your finances. Speak to the dry bones of your families. Speak to the dry bones of this great nation that I have raised up. And begin to prophesy life. Begin to prophesy my word. I will pour out into you and I will tell you what to say. Be obedient to speak my word. Be obedient to say and to do what I tell you to do. For I alone am God. And all that is or ever will be is in my hands. I spoke and it was. I speak and it is. I am the same today, yesterday, and forever. Do not misunderstand what you see is going on in the world today. Keep your eyes focused. Keep them on me. I am doing my work. I am doing my working. I'm bringing things in. I'm bringing those in like a hen over her chicks. I'm bringing you in. I'm bringing you in that you may be nurtured, that you may be healed, that you may be delivered. And you feel the squeeze. You feel the squeeze, and it is me, saith the living God. I am working in you. I'm working in you my character. I'm working in you my image. I'm working in you. Do not resist. Do not resist. And begin to pray. prophesy my word over your circumstance. For I have set it there so that you may prophesy to it, so that you may speak to it, that it may grow, and it may grow into a lively thing, and that those around you that have doubted who I am, those around you that have doubted who the God is that you serve, may see. Because some need to see a miracle. Some need to see me move. But you are my miracle workers in this season. You are my miracle workers in this day. So be obedient to my word. Do not jump off the potter's wheel. Stay, be healed, be delivered, and filled with my character, filled with my love, and begin to prophesy your circumstances as I give you the words that others may see and be drawn unto me. Not unto you, but unto me, for I alone am God. I alone am God. I alone am God. And I alone am God. Hallelujah.
Jerry's going to come and teach us this morning some of the things that the Lord has shown and taught her. And she's going to pass it on to us so we can pass it on to somebody else. Amen. Come on, Jerry. What a blessing. What a blessing.
I know it is. It's going to get better because the Lord showed me some more stuff. Thank you, Lord, for healing Glenn. Thank you for healing us. What a joy it has been to be here. Amen. I've been helped. I tell you, everything I've heard has really been a blessing to my life. And I'm just so thankful for these up here that have got musical talent that's given by the Lord. You know, it's one thing to read music, which is a blessing. But it's another thing to have a natural talent where you can hear the music and be able to flow with the Holy Spirit. Anyway, what a gift. That was one gift the Lord didn't give me was musical. But hallelujah, I got all the rest of them in Jesus' name. In fact, I may play before it's over. Amen. I'm going to start taking dominion over some things. I'm not going to stand there and let the devil beat me up anymore. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, what I want to share is a message entitled, The Spirit of Sleep. Many places in the King James, it talks about a spirit of slumber. But this is on a spirit of sleep or a spirit of slumber. Seven times the Word of God says to be sober. Approximately 14 times it says be on the alert or on the alert or keep on the alert. Five times it talks about being drunken. Seven times it talks about drunkenness, and 44 times it talks about being drunk, and there's not one place in the Word of God that says drunkenness is a blessing. Drunkenness is tied in with the spirit of sleep, a spirit of slumber. Other words for drunkenness or a spirit of sleep is slumber. Other Bible words that relate is to be dull. In Zephaniah 1:12, it talks about the men with a stagnant spirit. In King James, it says men that are settled on their lees, which means a stagnant spirit. It talks about a sluggard. It's related to being a sluggard, being in a stupor, slothfulness. It can be tied in with mental problems. It can be tied in with Romans 1. In fact, one of the roots to Alzheimer's is found in Romans 1 when it says, even though they knew God, they didn't acknowledge Him as God any longer. And then it goes on to say they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped the creature rather than the Creator, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And so a reprobate mind is a mind that has not been stayed upon the Lord. And so that is one of the roots to Alzheimer's. And so to get healing, you need to meditate on the Word of God. And I believe today after this message, there will be some deliverance come forth that will make that make you more able to walk free and walk in victory. If there's ever a time in your life that you ever quit overcoming and moving forward, you're going backwards. Is that right? You're either overcoming or you get overcome. And we can't retire when we get 60 or 70 or, you know, I hear people say, well, I'm just too old. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to go out in a blaze of glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And you know, the Bible says we'll bear fruit in old age. And I just loved that message last night about that eagle.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so good. I was so blessed. I was so blessed. Carla, the message that you gave on the kingdom, I believe really changed my life, especially when you said that you had gotten sick each year, and you've probably told me this before, but then you said, you asked God, and He said, I've already given it to you, you need to take it. And I thought, how many times have I asked, and God's saying, I'm trying to give it to you, take it. And you're going, please, God, give it to me. And He's trying to give it to me, and I'm standing there saying, oh, God, help me, help me, help me. Have you done that, or am I the only one? Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the worship. We thank You for Your presence. We thank You that there's angels all over this camp in the name of Jesus. Thank You that the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear You. And Lord, we do fear You. We just loose ministering angels over this place, whatever kind of angel, holy angel we need. Father, thank You that we've been raised to sit with You in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. And we take our seat in the heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. And in Jesus' name, we take dominion over every demon power. And we take the keys that we've been given to the kingdom of heaven. And we bind you, Satan. We bind principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. We bind you in the heavenly places and on this earth. We forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us, against this meeting, against our health, our possessions, our finances, our children. We proclaim that the children of the righteous are delivered. In Jesus' name, praise You, Lord, we'll be delivered. We declare the captive will be taken from the mighty man today. And the prey of the tyrant will be rescued. And Lord, we loose holy angels to rescue every soul in this place that does not know You as Savior and Lord. Praise You, Lord. Lord, there's many that are so-called believers, but Lord, we want to be doers of the Word and not hearers only, because hearers only are deluded. Praise You, Lord. The Bible has much to say about a spirit of drunkenness, about a spirit of sleep. I've gone many places because I don't want to miss anything that God has for me. But in earlier years, if I'd hear about some move over here or some over there, I would always go to investigate because I wanted to have whatever they had. And I've been places where they were into this drunkenness stuff. They call it revival. And some of you may get really mad at me and may never want me to come back. But it's not a blessing. It is a curse. I went one place that if I named it, you would know immediately where it was. But the speaker was standing there like this going, whoa. I mean, he was so spiritually drunk, he could not even stand up. And how do I know it was false? Because the words that were coming forth from his mouth did not line up with the Word of God. There's many things that are going on today in the name of revival that it's revival, all right, but it's a right revival of demon powers. And the Bible warns us to wake up and not be drunk. You know, a person that has a spirit of sleep or a spirit of drunkenness, it affects your ability to see. It affects your discernment. It affects your ability to hear. It affects your ability to function. Ephesians 5:14 says, for this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, that Christ may shine upon you. It says, be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So you're either drunk with wine, the wrong kind, whatever is excess, or you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Psalms 13:3 says, consider and answer me, O Lord, my God, enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Proverbs 6:9 says, how long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? As I said, sleep, drunkenness, slumber, slothfulness, stupor, sluggard, dull, stagnant, sluggishness, are all words that are related to each other in the Word of God. They have a lot of the same symptoms. Romans 13:11 says, and this do, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep, for now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. Now, I believe all of us, in varying degrees, depending on generational curses and depending on how we've lived our life, are affected by these things. depending on our sin, depending on the sins committed against us, depending on false doctrines we've set under, and generational curses. I believe there's not one person in here that's not been affected in some way or another, some more than others. Go to Luke 21:34, please. It says, "Be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, that day come on you suddenly, and that day come on you suddenly like a trap." So we have to be sober and alert, because the Word says our adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, which means to drink down, gulp down, and swallow up. You know, being swallowed up is another word that ties in with these words. Galatians 5:21, it says, "Envying, drunkenness." There's a food drunkenness, there's an alcohol drunkenness, there's a illegal drug drunkenness, and there is a prescription drug drunkenness. And so that keeps us from being sober and in our right mind. So envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, it's not a one-time sin. It's a practicing of these things. Things that open us up to a spirit of sleep or slumber or drunkenness. The first thing is the lack of diligence. If you'll go to Proverbs 19:15. It says laziness, and King James says slothfulness, cast into a deep sleep, and an idle man will suffer hunger. There's another scripture that says the way of a sluggard is like a hedge of thorns. It's like he's blocked. You know, recently the Lord showed me this about a person that I know. It's like they don't ever move out to do what they want to do. They just kind of wish and hope. And it's because of a spirit of sluggard, a sluggard spirit, that causes their way to be hedged up with thorns so they can't go. Proverbs, go to Proverbs 24, verse 33, please. Proverbs 24, verse 33. It says, "I passed by the field of a sluggard and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense." Now, Isaiah 5 says that the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. So we are the vineyard of the Lord. You are a spiritual garden. It says, "And behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down." Can you picture a vineyard that the wall's torn down? When the wall's torn down, wild animals can get in, right? Rabbits, and if you have a garden and the fence is down and the walls are down, all kinds of animals can get in to devour the produce of that garden. It says, and it said, "And its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. When I saw, I reflected upon it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, just a little, not much. A little slumber. A little folding of the hands to rest, not much, but just a little. Then your poverty will come upon you as a robber, and your want like an armed man." Now, who is the robber? We have to tend our vineyard to keep the fences up, which the Bible calls the broken down places, or the breaches in our heart where the enemy has gotten ground in our life. We have to keep repairing those places. Thank God he doesn't show us all the holes in the wall at one time. We'd absolutely pass out. Thank God for His grace that He just gives it to us little by little. He doesn't drive the enemy out in one day. And so thank God that His grace is upon us not to let us be destroyed. And so this is a sluggard does not take care of his spiritual garden. The next thing that opens you up to a spirit of sleep or drunkenness is giving God lip service. Go to Isaiah, please, chapter 29. It says, "Be delayed and wait, blind yourself and be blind. They became drunk, but not with wine." In other words, these people had a spirit of drunkenness on them, but they hadn't been down to the local liquor store. They're drunk, but not with wine. "They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord has poured over you a spirit of deep sleep. He has shut your eyes, the prophets, and he has covered your heads, the seers. And the entire vision will be to you like the words of a sealed book, which when they give it to the one who's literate, in other words, the one who's got an education, has a book learning, say, give this book here to the one that's literate, and he'll say, I can't read it. And then he says, well, give it to the one who's illiterate, the one who can't read, and he'll say, I can't read, for this book is sealed. Then the book will be given to the one who's illiterate, saying, please read this, and he will say, I cannot read. Then the Lord said, because this people draw near with their words, and they honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote, just mechanical repetition. Therefore, behold, I will once again deal marvelously with this people, wondrously marvelous, and the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be concealed. And so, in other words, when we give God lip service, we lose our discernment. Deuteronomy 32 says, when you have idols, you lose your understanding. Ezekiel 14 says, when you have idols, you put before your faces the stumbling block of your iniquity. So idols blind our eyes and cause us, when we just give God lip service, causes us to be drunk but not with wine and have a spirit of sleep poured out over our lives by God. Another thing that brings sleep is taking the Lord's Supper with sin in your life. 1 Corinthians 11:30 says, for this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. And I don't know what the King James says, Dr. Noel. What does the King James say? A number sleep. Does anybody have King James? Does it say a number sleep? 1 Corinthians 11:30, many sleep. Then another thing that brings about spiritual drunkenness or sluggishness or a stagnant spirit or spirit of sleep is spiritual harlotry. You know, when you pray a prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then your heart goes after other lovers or after false gods or goes after other gods, then you become a spiritual adulteress because you're committing adultery against your bridegroom, Jesus. And a false god is any god that is not the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sin. Jesus said, I and the Father are one God. And so having other gods will open you up to drunkenness and a spirit of sleep. You know, we may not worship, some of us may not worship a false god or an idol that we bow down to, but our idols today in the body of Christ is, you've got to love me. You've got to do everything that my mother and father didn't do that the Word of God said they should do. You've got to love me. You've got to value me. You've got to hug me. You've got to pay attention to me. You've got to communicate with me. You've got to value me, etc., etc. Whatever you get, whatever pushes your button, whatever rains on your parade is, as Chris says, is connected to a hot wire that's connected to an idol. So that means you can't get your button pushed. It means if you do get your button pushed, to say, okay, God, where's that idol? Where did it come in? I can tell you it came in generationally, or it came in when you were a child, when you were provoked to anger, you let the sun go down on your anger, and instead of going to God and forgiving your mother and father for their poor stewardship, you turned to a promise you made yourself, which became the false god of your life. And those false gods that came in generationally or came in childhood are the things, the issues that cause you to get your button pushed. God says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So you're either being provoked to anger, or you're either being brought up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, or you're provoked to anger in whatever area your parents violated this word. And I can tell you, I had the greatest parents, but I can tell you, no great parents are perfect. Everybody has got issues. And when you get married, I can tell you that your mate will push those same mother-daddy issues. That's just a little side benefit. I keep harping on that because, let me tell you, that's a root to all of our problems, is our idolatry. Spiritual harlotry. Go to Jeremiah 51, verse 39, please. Now, Jeremiah chapter 50, 49, 51, it all has to do with spiritual adultery and spiritual harlotry. But in verse 39, it says, when they become heated up, I shall serve them their banquet and make them drunk that they may become jubilant and may sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake up, declares the Lord. And then in verse 57, it says, and I shall make her princes and her wise men drunk, her governors, her prefects, and her mighty men, that they may sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake up, declares the King, whose name is the Lord of hosts. Psalm 60, verse 3 says, thou hast made thy people experience hardship. Thou hast given us wine to drink that makes us stagger. If you do a word study, and once I did this, and I taught a message called Harlotry, Wine, and New Wine, Take Away the Understanding. King James says, harlotry, whoredom and harlotry takes away the heart. But you lose your understanding. And in Hosea, the last few verses of Hosea chapter 4, it says the people without understanding are ruined. And that ties in with sleep and drunkenness, because when you're drunk or you're asleep, you don't have any understanding while you're asleep. And so there's a table of the Lord and there's a table of demons. At God's table, there's good wine, which is the good teaching of God's Word, and good bread. This is the bread of life. But there's also a table of demons with another wine and a false bread. The table of the Lord has good wine. The table of the demons have a false wine. And if you do a word study on wine, you'll see where God, because of the people's harlotry, He mixes together a wine that He makes the harlot, or the one who commits spiritual adultery, to drink that makes her drunk. And it's a curse. It's not a blessing. Proverbs 9:2 talks about wisdom has prepared her food, and she's mixed her wine. She's also set her table. So you're either eating at the table of the Lord or table of demons. And what's so sad today, in most places, you're eating at the table of demons. This is one thing I love about this camp, is that the teaching here is pure. Because I don't go a lot of places anymore because I hear a bunch of stuff that doesn't line up with the Word. I love to come here. In fact, I've told Glenn that I'm going to just, all next year, whether I teach or not, in 2007, God willing, I'm going to be here because I get blessed every time I come. Because I hear something that changes my life. And I want my life changed every day that I live until I leave this earth. I don't ever want to backslide, because if you're not going forward, you're backsliding. And then that opens you up to a depraved mind, a reprobate mind, and that's the root of Alzheimer's and all these mental problems. God says we're to renew our mind. Present your body to God as a living sacrifice and renew your mind. What is that scripture? Somebody quote that. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you've got to keep doing that. Mark 4 says you better be careful how you listen, because if you're not careful how you listen, you lose. Even what you think you have will be taken away. And I can tell you, if the Word of God is seed and words are seed, you better get out of the front of the boob tube and the movies that are planting demonic seeds down in your spiritual garden. And every seed that's planted is going to come up with some stuff. My husband used to like to watch Clint Eastwood and Charles Bronson movies. And so I got to where I like to watch him with him. And I tell you, I had such a spirit, I could get into strife just like that. Because seeds of strife was being planted down in my spiritual garden. If you've got a perversion problem and you're watching and looking at stuff that's arousing you sexually, you are opening yourself up to seeds of lust, and that's going to produce a crop. I have not watched two movies since 1978. One was The Passion, and the other one, just in the last year, I turned on TBN, and there was the cutest, sweetest little movie about a man and a woman whose husband died, and it was just sweet, and I watched that. But I want my mind renewed with the Word of God. I don't want to put seeds of violence and lust and perversion and confusion and mental illness and all that mess in my heart. Because it's going to produce a crop. In fact, I play the Word of God Proverbs, I play as loud as I can play it while I'm sleeping, and I go to bed just praying the Word. If I'm listening to the Psalms, I go to bed every night listening to the Word of God. And I've played the Word every night since 1992, and I can tell you, as loud, I don't play it quiet. I play it where when I lay there in bed, I can hear every word clearly. When I first started doing that, the demons didn't like it. I'd turn it on, and I'm telling you, in the middle of the night, something in me would say, turn that off! And I'd say, you demon that wants that off, get out of me! You know, your body sleeps, but your spirit doesn't. So pour into your life the Word of God. Proverbs 31:6 says, give strong drink to him who's perishing and wine to him whose life is bitter. You know, if you're bitter about anything, it proves that you're not overcoming, you're getting overcome. Recently, I told someone, I said, you know what, you're just bitter. I said, you need to deal with your issues. I am dealing with my issues. I said, if you were dealing with your issues, you wouldn't be bitter. You're either going to be better or bitter. I don't want to be bitter. Bitterness will kill you, make you sick. Joel 1:5 says, awake, drunkards, and weep and wail, all you wine drinkers, on account of the sweet wine, that's the good wine of God's Word, that is cut off from your mouth. And in most places, it is cut off. Revelation 14:8 says, another angel, a second one following, saying, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who has made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality. Now, Babylon is a type of the harlot church. And, you know, Babylon is any so-called believer that lives after the flesh. I don't care if you're Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Babdecostal, whatever you are, Babylon represents a church body or a church member that won't put to death the deeds of their flesh. And they're a picture of the house of Esau. Esau sold his birthright for flesh. Revelation 14:10, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in the full strength in the cup of his anger, and he'll be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Revelation 16:9, and the great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce anger. Revelation 17:2, with whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality, and those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her immorality. Speaking of the harlot. And the harlot is the one that's supposed to be the bride of Christ that is living after the flesh. Revelation 18:3, for all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. I want you to go, if you will, to Revelation 18. I want to read more of that passage. Revelation 18, it says, and he cried out in verse 2 with a mighty voice, saying, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, and she's become a dwelling place of demons. So the harlot is a dwelling place of demons. A church that teaches harlot doctrines is a dwelling place of demons. And they're doing a lot of things in the name of revival that is a dwelling place of demons. And a prison of every unclean spirit, and the prison of every unclean and hateful bird. Now, a bird can't put you in prison, but birds of the air are types and shadows of the powers of darkness. For all the nations have drank of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the mercenaries of the earth, merchants of the earth, have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you may not participate in the sins, in her sins, and that you may not receive of her plagues. So God's telling his remnant, get out of the harlot system, lest you receive of her plagues. Verse 6, pay her back even as much as she's paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds. The cup which she's mixed, mix twice as much for her. To the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously, to the same degree give her torment and mourning. For she says in her heart, this harlot church member says in his heart, I said as queen, and Jesus, and I am not a widow. In other words, I have the bridegroom, Jesus, and I'll never see mourning. And that's what the harlot says. There's another scripture in Proverbs that says the harlot wipes her mouth and says, I've not done anything wrong. Another place, it says the harlot is a deep pit, and those who fall into her never come out. And there's another scripture that says the harlot is bitter. She has a bitter mouth. Verse 8, for this reason, in one day her plagues, so God says, my people, remnant, get out of there. In one day her plagues will come, pestilence and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong. You know, if you sit in a church and you don't leave different, you haven't met God. That's why I like to come here, because I go home different. I want to be different. Another thing that opens us up to sleep and gluttony and drunkenness are related. Ecclesiastes 10:17 says, blessed are you, O land, and this is your land, whose king is of nobility, and there's a church land, a world land, Arkansas land, and our body's a land. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, your house, your building, and your field. Mark 4, Luke 8, Matthew 13 says, your soil. Proverbs 23, well, let me finish reading. Blessed are you, O land, whose king is of nobility, and whose princes eat at the appropriate time for strength and not for drunkenness. In my lifetime, I've eaten for drunkenness. I've not been, I think one time when I was lost, I was drunk. And never again. It made me too sick. But I've been drunk on food in my earlier years many, many times. You eat to where you're just sick. Am I the only one that's done that? And you think, well, you know, as skinny as I am, since I taught on words, as skinny as I am, you would think that I still do that, but I don't. Praise the Lord. I'm learning to quit cursing myself. Proverbs 23, verse 21 says, for the heavy drinker and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness, you know, you get drunk, will clothe a man in rags, causes you to lose your spiritual clothes. Idolatry, harlotry, and spiritual adultery causes you to lose your spiritual clothes. Lamentations 4:21, rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom, who dwells in the land of Uz, but the cup will come around to you as well. You will become drunk and make yourself naked. Ezekiel 16:39, if you'll go there, please. Ezekiel 16, verse 39. Verse 35 says, therefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 38 says, thus I shall judge you, harlot, like the woman who commits adultery or shed blood are judged, and I'll bring on you the blood of wrath and jealousy. In Numbers 5, if a man thought his wife was committing adultery, he would take her to the priest. The priest would get some dirt off the floor, mix it up, make her drink it. If she was guilty of committing adultery, her stomach would swell and her thigh would waste away. If she was innocent, she was immune to the curse. So God's saying here, you spiritual harlot, I'm going to judge you like the physical harlot in Numbers 5. Like women who commit adultery or shed blood are judged, and I'll bring on you the blood of wrath and jealousy. I shall also give you into the hands of your lovers, and they'll tear down your shrines, demolish your high places, strip you of your clothing, take away your jewels, and will leave you naked and bare. And they'll incite a crowd against you, and they'll stone you and cut you in pieces with their swords. And I bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus as Lord. I declare you cannot work in here, in Jesus' name. Revelation 16:5 says, blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his garments, lest he walk about naked and men see his shame. Revelation 17:6 says, and the ten horns which you saw in the beast, these will hate the harlot and will make her desolate and naked and will eat her flesh and will burn her up with fire. Now, that's kind of encouraging, I mean, in the last days, if you're not a spiritual harlot. Because we wonder when the one world order takes over and when all the things that are coming down in this world, it's just, if you didn't know the Lord, You could die of fear. The Bible says in the last days men's heart will fail them because of fear. But here it says that the beast makes war with a harlot. That's the so-called church member that doesn't live a life of denying themselves, taking up their cross, and following the Lord. So that tells me that the remnant, those who walk in repentance, are not going to be bothered by the beast. Hallelujah. Okay, go to Matthew 22. You see that harlotry causes you to get stripped naked and bare. And then Matthew 22, Jesus talks about this wedding feast. In Matthew chapter 22, it says, "And Jesus answered and spoke to them again in parables, saying, The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son." And this is a type of a wedding feast for Christ and the bride. "And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. Again he sent out other slaves, saying, Tell those who have been invited, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fattened livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm." Nothing wrong with a farm, but if I let the farm take the place of the Lord, then it's an idol. "Another to his business." Nothing wrong with having a business, but when that business gets in God's business, then it's an idol. In Luke 14, it says, "And one said, I've got to marry a wife. And when you marry a wife, I'm distracted with this wife away from the things of God." You know, don't let your wife or your mate keep you from proclaiming the Word of God. It says, "But they paid no attention and went their own way, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized the slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king," which represents Jesus, "was enraged and sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire." You're also a city. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Is that what Jesus said? You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. "Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven." And Jesus said he's the light of the world, but he said you're the light of the world. And who was it that said that God wants to, I mean, maybe it was Howard, that said, God wants you to get so bogged down in your problems that your light goes out. Not God wants that, the devil. Thank you, Lord, for correcting me. "Then he said to his slaves, The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast. And those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both good and bad, both evil and good, and the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw there a man not dressed in wedding clothes." And it could have been a woman, too. She was naked, or he was naked. "And the king said to him, Friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes?" And he was speechless. "Then the king said to the servants, Bind him," the one with no wedding clothes on, "bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for there are many called but few chosen." God is pulling a remnant out of this big conglomerate of people that call themselves Christians, and there will be a holy bride. They won't look like Fredericks of Hollywood. They will be a holy bride. In fact, you know, the Bible says in the New American Standard, it says, "Without sanctification, no man would see God." But I like what the King James says, "Without holiness, no man is going to see God." And there's another scripture that says, when you're walking the highway of holiness, no lion can get on it. That means you're going to be protected. Amen? And when you fall off, get back on. Amen? You fall in the ditch, get back on. Amen? And so, and then, if you will, go to Romans chapter 11, verse 8 through 10. Romans chapter 11, 8 through 10. The Lord showed me this spirit of stupor when I was doing a word study on my eyes. I spent about 35 hours repenting over eye scriptures. And when I got to this one, I would have never dreamed that I might have a spirit of stupor. And I don't have all the symptoms, but I had a few of them, enough to know that I had a spirit of stupor. And the last three times I went to the eye doctor, my eyes were better just from repenting over the Word of God. I need to do some more. I got sidetracked. I haven't done that in a long time. 11, verse 8. It says, just as it is written, God gave them over, gave them a spirit of stupor. And I believe the King James says a spirit of slumber. It says, eyes to see not and ears to hear not down to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a retribution to them. Let their eyes be darkened to see not and bend their backs forever. So right here you see a spirit of stupor, which means stupefaction, or a spirit of slumber. It means slumber too. King James says slumber. Eyes to see and ears that hear not. So you see how it affects your eyes and your ears. It says, and let their table become a snare and a trap. And I looked that up in the Greek, and the table is the food table. My whole life the food table has been a snare to me. But not anymore in Jesus' name. It says, and let their eyes be darkened to see not. That kind of sounds like macular degeneration, wouldn't you think? Because our cataracts are, you know, macular degeneration is when your eye shuts out the light. One of the keys to glaucoma is pride. Psalm 73 says their eyes bulge with fatness, which means their eyes swell out. And when you have glaucoma, pressure builds up in your eyes. And then macular degeneration, my whole family, my mother and all of her sisters and my granny all had macular degeneration of the eyes. And that's when the eyes shut out the light. In Matthew chapter 6, it says, if your eyes are filled with what is that scripture? I'm gonna read it because I can't think of it. If your eyes are filled with, I'm gonna read it. Matthew chapter 6. Go, hold your place and go to Matthew chapter 6. Yes, that's right. But if your eyes are if your eyes are full of darkness, how dark is the darkness within you? Here it says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And that word bad means toilsome, which has to do with idolatry. If I'm toiling after things, I'm not entering God's rest. And that has to do with idolatry. Okay, so you see back problems. It says bend their backs forever. So you see in that particular scripture, there's also back problems. Okay, I looked up, this part came out of me looking up the word stupor in the dictionary, stupefaction. And so all of the symptoms now of a spirit of stupor and all the things that I've named, stupor means stupefaction, physical state in which responses to stimuli are suspended. King James says slumber, which is a prickling sensation as of the limbs asleep, that is by implying perhaps that our legs, like lethargy, like our limbs go to sleep. I don't know. I've experienced this if I'd sit in one place for very long, and I do. I sit at a computer most of the day, and I have my feet propped up in a chair on a laptop computer, and my legs would just go to sleep on me or tingle. And since God delivered me from a spirit of stupor, I don't have that prickling sensation in my legs. It can be in your arms or in your legs. Another symptom of a spirit of stupor is drowsiness and sleeping, and stupor is a spirit of sleep. Is a slumbering spirit, a prickling sensation of the limbs asleep. Lethargy, a state of sluggishness and activity, lack of energy. Goodness, my whole life it seems like I've lacked energy. Indolence, which is habitual laziness, quality of being lazy or idle. A slothfulness is an aversion to work or exertion, laziness, indolence. A disinclined to work or exercise. Drowsiness and sleepiness. Torpid, which suggests a suspension of activity. Characteristic of an animal in hibernation. A decrease in physical alertness and mental activity. Mental numbness. Your mind is deprived of the power to feel or move normally. You have eyes that see not. Physical eyes. And spiritual eyes. I liked what Carla said about Hagar, how God opened, that was such a revelation to me, how God opened her eyes in the wilderness. And Lord, I pray for myself and all of us that you open our eyes to see in the spiritual what we don't see more than what we see in the physical. Open our eyes, Lord, like you did Elijah's servant. Was it Elijah or Elisha? Elisha's servant. We live in what we see in the natural, but God wants us as believers to live what is in the supernatural. It means mental numbness. Mind is deprived of the power to feel or move normally. Ears that hear not, and that's physical hearing and spiritual hearing. One of the roots to of deafness and ear problems is not listening to your mom and dad. You know, just cutting off your mom and dad, not listening. I know people that haven't ever listened to authority in their whole life, but they're always telling me what God told them. And I'm thinking, God hadn't told you nothing because you can't even submit to authority. Amen? God isn't going to tell you something except repent, for the day of the Lord is at hand. What's that scripture? Repent now. People that have this spirit are not good listeners. They can seem dazed and in a stunned condition. Have you ever watched a bird that in the springtime when the bird hits the window, he thinks especially red birds like to fly into your window because they think it's another male bird. And they hit the window so many times that they get dazed. I had a bird that kept hitting my window one day in my prayer room, and it did it. This went on for 2 weeks. He kept hitting my window. And I bound every demon I could think of, and I thought, this is the devil, and I was binding all kinds of spirits, and he kept hitting the window. And finally, I got my shotgun and blew him away, and it was just red feathers. I hated to kill the beautiful thing, but he was about to drive me crazy. When he wouldn't bind, when I couldn't bind him, I had to shoot him. A person with a spirit of sleep or slumber or stupor is perplexed and puzzled. They lose one's bearings. They live in a state of bewilderment. They can seem dazed and stunned, distracted. Sometimes in extreme cases, it can be something right under their nose and they don't see it. Now, that's in extreme cases. Perplexed or puzzled, distracted, disoriented, disorganized, apathy, feeling or showing a lack of interest or concern, indifferent, feeling or showing little or no emotions, unresponsive. A coma is a state of deep, often prolonged unconsciousness, usually the result of injury, disease. Muscular rigidity. How many of you have hugged somebody and they're stiff as a board? Physical and psychological disorders. Epilepsy, schizophrenia, a sleep-like state, heightened suggestibility, hallucinations, mental disorders, delusions, is a false belief or opinion, a false belief strongly held in spite of invalidating evidence, visions of grandeur, having fantastic, impractical plans and desires, daydreaming, a dreamlike musing or fantasy while awake, especially of the fulfillment of wishes or hopes, fantasizing, the creative imagination, unrestrained fantasy. God tells us we're to take our thoughts captive. Imaginations, the Bible says, talking about pride and having a pride necklace, says the imaginations of their heart run riot. The power of the mind to form images, especially of what is not present to the senses. Flight of fantasy is the mental faculty through which whims, visions, fantasies are summoned up. Imagination, especially of a whimsical or fantastic nature. Make-believe, playful or fanciful, pretending, pretense, play-acting, masquerading. Unable to comprehend, I can say understand and retain the Word of God. It could include forgetfulness, memory problems, pretense, the act of pretending, a false appearance, disguise to conceal or obscure something, ostentation, trying to impress others, seeing things that are not there, having strongly held but false beliefs, false notions, error, false or mistaken ideas, illusions, an erroneous perception of reality, detachment from one's physical surroundings, lacking awareness of the capacity for sensory perception. You know, sometimes little children to cope, and now these little children are grown-up adults, to cope, they just kind of disconnect emotionally, which is a false refuge. You know, God is our refuge and strength, But sometimes to cope, we don't know we can go to God. So what we do is detach, isolate, or disconnect. It means, but praise God, He can reconnect you. Amen? When you get in His refuge. It means lacking awareness and the capacity for sensory perception, emotionally unresponsive, numbness, deprived of the power to feel or move normally, emotionally unresponsive, indifferent, lacking in sensitivity to the feelings and circumstances of others, being unfeeling, having no physical feeling or sensation, not sharing in the pleasures or pains of others, being callous. It means to be passionless, lacking strong emotion or feeling, not romantic, not sentimental. You may say, well, this doesn't fit me because I'm very romantic. You can have all the others. Not sentimental, apathetic, feeling, which means feeling or showing a lack of interest or concern, indifferent, feeling or showing little or no emotions, unresponsive. It means lacking in enthusiasm or excitement. You know, there was a time in my life, and maybe I'm still like this a little bit, that, you know, if Bill Clinton or somebody like that was in my front yard, I probably wouldn't, not even could care less, you know. It wouldn't have to be him, but I mean, I've been that way in my lifetime. It means, now, you know, you can be, and I used to think, you know, the thing I'm fixing to name, is, I used to think it was a good thing, and it is a good thing if it's because God has matured you, but mine was because I just didn't care. You know, if you're even-handed due to being dispassionate or indifferent, or unbigoted, unbiased, unprejudiced, even-handed, just, fair, impartial, indifferent. You know, I've always thought I was all those things. You know, but I was those things because I couldn't care less. See, that's not good. If you're those things because God has worked in your heart, then that's a good thing. But if it's because you don't give a rip, it's not a good thing. It means to be expressionless, devoid of emotion, having a blank mind, appearing or seeming to appear dazed or confused, devoid of thought or impression, not able to recognize or draw fine distinctions. It means not to be perceptive. And, of course, you lose your discernment. You don't have any discernment. You don't get it. Unable to be analytical, lacking in effervescence or sparkle, lacking in flavor. I've seen people that were so swallowed up with such this spirit of sleep and stupor that they were actually looked stone-faced. And you've known, now this is extreme cases where you've known people that were almost like stone statues. Have you noticed that in people? And it means to be, see where I lost my place here, lacking in flavor, incapable of physical sensation, motionless, indifferent, having no marked feeling for or against, having no particular interest in or concern for. And, you know, that's pretty much the way I've been toward everything except the Lord and the things of God. I mean, the world, and that part's a good thing, doesn't interest me, but there's times when I don't need to be indifferent. It's a sin. It means to be detached, separated, disconnected, distant, alienated, isolated, reserved, which is held in reserve, kept back, or set aside, unsociable, not disposed to seek the company of others, not congenial, incompatible, not conducive to social change. And maybe I wouldn't be this way if I didn't do a meeting every week, but I could be by myself for 2 years just with the Lord. But I go out every week, but I love to be at home. It means to be withdrawn, introverted, cut off, multiple personalities, emotionally uncommitted, disconnected, aloof, lacking personality. Have you known people that were so swallowed up, so in such a state that they had no personality whatsoever? It means to be passive, unsympathetic, hardened, hard-hearted, lacking compassion and pity, incapable of being penetrated or affected, incapable of physical sensation, lifeless, unresponsive to unaware of the feelings and needs of others, to be cold-hearted and devoid of sympathy or feeling not affectionate or friendly. It means cold and devoid of sexual desire. Now, that doesn't mean because you're a person that likes sex that you don't have this spirit. But I believe that this is the spirit that causes frigidity in marriages. It means to be unmindful, exhibiting no feeling or warmth, stone-faced in very extreme cases, stony-hearted, unreceptive, calloused, It means to be stagnant, not moving or flowing, motionless, shows little or no sign of change or activity of advancement, lacking vitality, means indifferent or unaffected by joy, grief, pleasure, or pain, not easily stirred or moved to feeling unmoved, out of reach, and unobtainable. It means to be stoic. And I see stoicism so much in my family. My mother's family, my sister, it's like stoicism is when you just accept everything as of God. Well, that's the, you know, whatever the Lord wills, and that's good. But being stoic keeps you from being violent to take the kingdom by force. Because you accept everything as the will of God, even if it's something the devil did. It means to be dull, which is intellectually weak or obtruse, stupid, lacking responsiveness or alertness, insensitive, dispirited, depressed, arousing no interest or curiosity, to be boring, not bright or vivid. It means to be preoccupied, which is absorbed in thought, engrossed, excessively concerned with something, distracted. It means lacking knowledge or awareness, not paying attention, heedless, unobservant. You can miss things right under your nose. It means to be oblivious, forgetful, fatigue, dazed, confusion, to make gloomy or troubled, feel like a fog, a haze, a mist is over your life, dim, to feel weak, to be paralyzed, and feel benumbed. And it comes in through generational curses, things coming down on us generationally. Comes in through childhood trauma when we turn to isolation, when we turn to a false God instead of turning to God, turning to a false refuge. We get swallowed up. We're either in God's refuge or we get swallowed up by the enemy. It comes in through spiritual harlotry and idolatry, and we've already talked about that. Comes in through not being a disciple, preachers not preaching the truth, not being a disciple. In the parable of the sower, God tells the disciples, blessed are your eyes because they see. But to the multitudes, I give them ears that they hear not, eyes that they see not. I make their heart dull so that they cannot understand and be healed. It comes in through living a fruitless life. Go to Isaiah chapter 6, please. Verse 9, it says, and he said, go and tell this people, keep on listening but do not perceive, keep on looking but do not understand, render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull and their eyes dim, lest they shall see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. Now before Isaiah 6, 9, if you read Isaiah 5, and the first part of that, you see that the reason God does that is because they're living fruitless lives. Their lives are not producing the fruit of the Spirit. It comes in through rebellion, which is idolatry, hardness of heart. Ephesians 4:18 says, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them because of the hardness of heart. And then Jesus, go to Matthew 25, and we'll close with that scripture. Matthew 25, when God sets the sheep on one side and the goats on the other, and he says in verse 33, and he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you and thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, the goats, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I was naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to the one of the least of these, you did not do it to me, and these will go into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. And so what I want you to do is I want you to stand up, and if you've had any of those symptoms, then you could suspect a spirit of sleep, a spirit of drunkenness, a spirit of stupor, a sluggishness, slothfulness. Lord, in Jesus' name, I expose to you my conscience. I ask you to search me out by your Holy Spirit. I ask you to come into every memory that you won't heal with the light of your presence. Lord, show me any place that I have not proclaimed your truth. Show me any place that I am under a spirit of sleep, a spirit of drunkenness, a spirit of slumber and sluggishness, a stagnant spirit, where I'm settled on my lees, where I'm dull and a sluggard and under a spirit of stupor and slothfulness. God, show me what I need to repent of to get these spirits off of me. I ask for the truth that sets me free. Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive my forefathers for not going to you for all the things that we've heard that would cause me to be born under a spirit of sleep, drunkenness, slumbering spirit, slothfulness, stupor, sluggishness, stagnant. I take accountability for whatever happened to me in the loins of my forefathers, all the way back to Adam and Eve. Lord, will you start with Adam and Eve? Let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through a spirit of sleep, drunkenness, slumber, sluggishness, sluggard, idolatry, being born outside of your refuge, being in a stupor, and slothfulness. I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses. I stand up in my bloodline and I put all of this that's coming down under the blood of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, forgive me for lack of diligence, slothfulness, giving you lip service. Forgive me for not tending my vineyard. Forgive me for not taking care how I listen. Forgive me for planting in my spiritual garden the wrong kind of seed. Forgive me for taking the Lord's Supper with sin in my life. Forgive me for spiritual adultery and idolatry, gluttony and drunkenness. God, forgive me for not eating at the appropriate time for strength and not drunkenness. God, forgive me for being a heavy drinker and a glutton that would cause me to come to poverty and drowsiness to clothe me with rags. God, forgive me for being a spiritual adulterer. Forgive me for giving you lip service, pretending I love you, when I've been like Esau, selling my birthright for the flesh. God, would you please take me out of the hands of the enemy? Lord, I ask you to clothe me with robes of righteousness as I repent. God, in Jesus' name, forgive me for not staying awake and keeping my garments. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for not being on guard. Forgive me that I've let my heart be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries and cares of life that would cause that day to come upon me like a trap. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for not staying awake and keeping my garments. I've been walking around naked, and men have seen my shame. You know, every one of us are sitting here with physical clothes on. But if you're spiritually naked to the powers of darkness, you're sitting here naked if you are dealing in the spirit realm. If angels and demons were looking at you, do they see spiritual clothes or do they see nakedness? Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for my sin and not keeping my garments and keeping them clean through repentance and confessing sin. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for being too busy for you, saying I have a farm, I have a business, I have to marry a wife. Forgive me for letting all those things distract me from what you put me here on this earth for. God, in Jesus' name, forgive me for idolatry, not being fruitful, not for unbelief and doubt. Forgive me for rebellion. Forgive me for not sitting under sound teachers. Forgive me for not being a disciple. Forgive me for living a fruitless life. And forgive me for hardening my heart. And Lord, would you please forgive me for the sins that I've confessed that would cause you to give me over to a spirit of stupor, eyes to see not, ears to not hear not, my food table be a snare, my eyes to be darkened, and you to bend my back forever. Lord, I repent. I forgive my forefathers of the same sins I've committed. I take accountability for all the sins I've confessed and whatever happened to me in the loins of my forefathers all the way back to Adam and Eve. Lord, will you start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through this spirit of stupor, through drunkenness, through the spirit of sleep, through dullness, through sluggishness, sluggardness, stagnant spirit. I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, and I command every demon power to leave now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, and Lord, you said we're to clothe the naked. I ask you to let garments of salvation fall down from heaven to clothe your children. Put spiritual clothes on them, Lord, because they've repented. I clothe their nakedness now in the name of Jesus. Praise your name. I command the spirit of dullness to go. In Jesus' name, I command drunkenness, slumbering spirit, sluggishness to go. And you know, I don't have a scripture to back this up, but I've been told by, I was at a healing school, and I was told that if a daddy doesn't appropriately touch his child when they're little with love, affection, and nurture in a pure way, that child's spirit, human spirit, can go to sleep. So, Lord, if my father never gave me appropriate touches, appropriate love, appropriate nurturing, I forgive him in the name of Jesus. Thank you that you said that when my father and mother forsake me, you will take me up. I ask you to take them up now, Lord, in Jesus' name. And in the name of Jesus, I come against spirit of sleep, spirit of slumber. I come against hypocrisy, sluggishness. I cough it out, breathe it out. I come against a stagnant spirit, spirits of dullness, sluggard spirit, stupor, slothfulness. I come against laziness. I come against slumber. I come against deep sleep. I come against lip service. I come against every spirit that would block me because I've given lip service to God. I break the power of spiritual harlotry, a spirit of sleep and slumber that came in through taking the Lord's Supper with sin in your life. In Jesus' name, I speak over them, wake up, sleeper, and arise from the dead, that Christ may shine upon you. Lord, shine upon them in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I come against the spirit of gluttony. I come against the spirit that came in of exchanging the truth of God for a lie and worshiping the creature instead of the Creator that would cause God to give us over to a reprobate mind. I command depraved mind, reprobate mind, out, forgetfulness, out, gluttony, drunkenness, out in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I break the power of harlotry, spiritual adultery. I break your power in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of nakedness. I come against drowsiness, sleepiness, slumbering spirits out in Jesus' name. I come against prickling sensation of the limbs and body, lethargy out, lack of energy out, indolence out, slothfulness out, sluggishness, inactivity out, drowsiness, sleepiness, torpid out. All spirits of decreased alertness, mental numbness, blindness, physical and spiritual blindness, physical and spiritual deafness. God, forgive me for not listening to my father and mother and not listening to you. I command all spirits that have bent their back backwards. I break the power of back problems. Perplexed, backsliding, I break your power. Distracted, disoriented, disorganized, apathy, coma, muscular rigidity, out, physical and psychological disorders, epilepsy, schizophrenia, a sleep-like state, trance, hallucinations, mental disorders, in Jesus' name, delusions, visions of grandeur, out, daydreaming, out, fantasy, imaginations, out, flight of fantasy, out, make-believe, unable to comprehend, pretense, disguise, ostentation, all spirits that cause them to see things that are not there, spirits that have a false doctrine, false notions, mistaken ideas, illusions, deception, detachment. Lord, I reconnect them now in Jesus' name. Forgive me, Lord. Pray with me. Forgive me for not making you my refuge, Lord. I choose now to make you my refuge. All spirits of, and Lord, I come out of Babylon in the name of Jesus. I command all spirits of lacking awareness, all spirits of being emotionally unresponsive, numbness, stoicism, lacking sensitivity to the feelings of others, unfeeling, passionless, not romantic, not sentimental, apathetic, lacking enthusiasm, excitement. All spirits have caused them to be expressionless, devoid of emotion, blank mind, confusion. All spirits of that cause them to be devoid of thought, not able to recognize or draw fine distinctions. All spirits that hinder their discernment. Spirits that keep them from being analytical. Spirits that hinder their sparkle, effervescence. Spirits that of motionless, indifferent, detached, distant, alienated, isolated, out, reserved. Blow them out. Call them out. Unsociable, withdrawn, introverted, cut off, multiple personalities, demon powers that masquerade as personalities, out, emotionally uncommitted, disconnected, aloof, out, passivity, I break your power, unsympathetic, out, hardness of heart, all spirits of lacking compassion and pity, lifelessness, all spirits of cold-hearted, hard-hearted, devoid of sympathy, unmindful, exhibiting no feeling or warmth, frigidity, stoning heart, unreceptivity, every spirit that came in of being oversexed or undersexed, I break your power, lacking vitality, out, indifference, unaffected by joy, grief, pleasure, pain, not easily stowed or moved, out in Jesus' name. I break your power, dullness, preoccupation, all spirits of lacking knowledge or awareness, all spirits of not paying attention, heedlessness, oblivion, forgetful, fatigue, dazed, confusion, gloominess, trouble, sadness. I command the fog, the haze, the mist to leave, weakness, dimness, paralysis, benumb, and I command the holy angels to go get them in all of those places and drag them out in the name of Jesus. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Praise Him. And when you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. And Lord, we ask you to bless the food, purify it, sanctify it, bless the hands that made it. Lord, minister to your blessed children in the kitchen, Lord. Bless their going in, their coming out. And Lord, bless them with the joy of the Lord. And bless us that we can be a blessing. Amen. 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 Thank you so much.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.